Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Confirmation Weekend at Trinity Lutheran Church. Later on this morning, three of our young people are going to be confirmed into the Christian faith. They will be affirming or reaffirming their baptism and the vows that were made for them on their behalf in their baptism. If you are here later on this morning for the rite of confirmation, you will notice that there's very little difference between the baptism liturgy and the confirmation liturgy, because the confirmands are reaffirming. They are confirming the vows that were made on their behalf when they were little babies, most of them, at their baptism. How many of you can remember your confirmation day? Can you remember that? Okay. How well can you remember your confirmation? Any of you have the public questioning or examination? I lucked out. When I was in confirmation, we had a vacancy pastor, so we got out of questioning. It was awesome. Let's see how well you remember your confirmation years. Remember in Martin Luther's Small Catechism? That's the book, one of the books you studied, right, along with the Bible? In Martin Luther's Small Catechism, how many chief parts are there? Anybody know that? You shout it out. Six. All right. A plus. Six chief parts. Was Deacon Tony back here feeding answers? I tell you. Okay. How about those six chief parts? What are they? Remember some of them? You know, later on this summer, I think I'm going to do a confirmation refresher course, seriously, during the Sunday morning Bible study. That'll be later summer. Those six chief parts. Remember? Ten Commandments? Remember that? Apostles' Creed? Lord's Prayer? Sacrament of Baptism? Sacrament of the Altar or Communion? And Office of Keys? And confession. When you're confirmed, you make some important promises, don't you? In that reaffirmation of your baptism, that confirmation of your baptism, you're making some important promises. You're acknowledging some important things, too. When the kids are standing up here later this morning, they say that they acknowledge that they're a sinner. They say that they renounce the devil. They say that they want to live a better life, that they believe in God the Father Almighty, that they believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, and the Holy Spirit. They then confess that they want to be a member of the church. They confess that they believe in the teachings of the Lutheran Church and want to be a member of this congregation and the Lutheran Church. That's what confirmation is all about. We live in a day and age, though, when it seems like it's increasingly difficult for a person to live their confirmation vows. And more generally, more importantly, it's increasingly difficult for a Christian to live the Christian faith. I know of a pastor who, when he meets with his confirmation students for the first time, he has a whiteboard on the side of him. In front of the class is a large jar of jelly beans. On the whiteboard, he lists the names of the students. Then he asks the class, how many jelly beans do you think are in that jar? And as the students go around and throw out their guesses, trying to guess how many beans are in a jar, he writes the numbers up on the board next to their name. Then he asks them another question. What is your favorite song? So he starts another column up on the whiteboard. He writes down next to their name their favorite song. Then he goes back to the jar of jelly beans. Tells the kids how many jelly beans are in the jar. Say 500. Then he goes back to the list on the board and goes over their guesses for the number of beans and sees who it is that guessed the closest. And then he asks about the column with a list of their favorite songs. His question goes something like this. Which of these on the list of the favorite songs do you think is the closest one to being right? And of course, the class responds by saying something like, there's no right answer for a favorite song. They're all the right answers. They're just your favorite song. They talk about that for a little while, but then he asks this very profound question. He says, when you decide what to believe in the terms of your faith, is it more like guessing the number of beans in the jar? Or is it more like picking your favorite song? When it comes to choosing what you believe in terms of your faith, is it more like guessing the number of beans in the jar or choosing a favorite song? Alarmingly, most of the kids, all the kids, in every single confirmation class have said it's more like picking your favorite song. How would you respond to that? The world in which we live is teaching us that when it comes to what we believe in, it's more like picking our favorite song. But that's a lot different than what our Savior Jesus teaches us. Jesus tells us that there's only one route to salvation. Jesus teaches us that there's really only two religions in the world. There's the one religion where we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. One religion where God loves us so much that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. One religion that leads to eternal life in heaven. And then there's everything else. Then there's the false religion. Then there's the teachings that lead to the same dead end of eternal destruction and suffering. With such a religion as Christianity, which teaches us that there's only one way, where we follow a Savior who says that he is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Following a religion where God says that there is but one God and we shall have no other God before him, where we teach our kids in confirmation class that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, it's increasingly more difficult to live that kind of life. If you've been watching AD, the Bible Continues on Sunday evenings, you're seeing on TV screen some ways that Christians likely suffered back in the first century, the weeks and months right after Jesus ascended, because they were following the Christian faith. We see some ways that they likely suffered as Jesus said that they would. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said these words, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over," Jesus said, "to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles." Today we live in a day and age where hundreds of Christians die because of their relationship with Jesus Christ every week. We live in a day and age when more and more of our Christian liberties are at risk and being taken away. We live in a day and age when we might hear someone say, "How can this be happening? What happened to being able to live as Jesus wants us to?" Well, when we go back to what Jesus says in the four Gospels, welcome to Christianity. When it comes to living our confirmation vows, when it comes to living the Christian faith, when it comes to giving an answer to those who question us about the hope that we have, how can we be best prepared to give such an answer, to give a good answer, to put in a good word for Jesus, to share our faith? Three things. First of all, know your Bible. Know your Bible. Read your Bible and read it often. And you know what's amazing is the more you read your Bible, the more you're going to see and clearly see that when it comes to your Christian faith, it's more like counting the number of beans in a jar than it is guessing your favorite song. The more you read the scriptures, the more you see that those verses, those chapters that were written centuries and even thousands of years apart are inspired by the same God. They come, even though written by different men and women throughout the ages, they are inspired by the same God. Number two. Hang out with other Christians. Christians need one another. Jesus gives us that example from the first moment when he's with his 12 disciples. Christians need one another. We see it when Jesus sends out his followers as missionaries. He doesn't send them out individually, he sends them out in pairs. Christians need one another. We need fellowship. Fellowship is more than just coffee and donuts, too. Fellowship is being in God's Word together. Fellowship is being in ministry together, being in service together. Fellowship is understanding that when Christians are with one another, encouraging one another, studying with one another, praying for one another, that togetherness is like iron sharpening iron. Be with other Christians. And thirdly, when it comes to proclaiming the Christian faith, defending the Christian faith, an important thing we can do is read. Read books, visit websites, read magazines with articles about our Christian faith and how to defend it. There's a lot of people out there who have a lot of bad words about Christianity and the Bible. But how many of them have ever read the Bible? How many of them have ever read a book about the Bible? When you read books about Christian doctrine, when you read about Christian doctrine, it will give you a good leg up for defending the Christian faith. You know, the average person in today's day reads just one book per year. That's all. And in addition to that, in our day and age, 58%, almost 6 out of 10 adults, never ever will read a nonfiction book after their last year of formal education. If you read a book of Christian doctrine or defending the Christian faith, imagine the advantage that will give you for defending the faith when it is attacked. A leader is a reader, and our world needs, though, that type of Christian leader. Now, on top of all those things, one thing is important, above all of those, and that is putting God first in your life. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with all of your soul. Put Christ first in everything, as St. Paul told the Colossians. Or the writer of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, knows it so well. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.